The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul, while kneeling in a Roman prison, offered three specific prayers for the church in Ephesus. First, that their inner being would be strengthened. Second, that Christ would dwell in their hearts. And third, that they would be rooted and established in love. The reason Paul prayed in this way is revealed in the following verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19. That you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul's hope for the Ephesian church and for us is that we would come to grasp the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ's love, and that we would be filled with all the fullness of God, just as God Himself is full. Three key verbs appear in this passage: to surpass, to know, and to grasp, which is to comprehend. But in the Greek text, the order is reversed: first to comprehend, then to know, and finally to surpass. To comprehend means to understand and accept something intellectually in relation to an object or event. In other words, it is to think with the mind about the love of Christ. For our faith to grow and mature, right thinking is essential. I remember when I was a young adult, there was a revival meeting at our church. The guest preacher said something like this: "Don't calculate this or that. Don't even think. Just firmly believe. If you believe unconditionally and move forward, God will take responsibility." I also remember how the congregation responded loudly with "Amen." However, that kind of attitude is not the right kind of faith. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin." Right belief comes from right thinking. Also, the first verse of hymn number 149 says this: "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Only when our thinking is right and deep can our faith also be right and deep. We have shared what the width, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ mean. And the more rightly we think about that love, the more fully we experience the richness of God. To know goes one step further than to comprehend. It refers to knowledge that is confirmed experientially and personally. When someone says, "I know how to cook Korean, Chinese, and Italian cuisine," they don't mean that they've merely read the recipes or watched someone else cook. They mean they have actually cooked those dishes themselves, and the knowledge is now ingrained in them. If someone wanted to know me, what would they need to do? Would reading a book titled All About Jeong Han-jo enough? Of course, such a book doesn't exist. To truly know a person means to share in personal, relational fellowship with them. Can a 1 or 2 year old child know their parents' names? Would they know their parents' birth dates, the schools they attended, or what they do for work? They likely know none of these external facts. And yet, they know their parents. They know the one who always smiles warmly at them, the one who prepares everything so they are never uncomfortable, the one who loves them. Why? Because they live with them and share in fellowship with them. The more we come to know the width and length, depth and height of the love of Christ, the more the fullness of God overflows within us, and we ourselves are able to live in that fullness. The literal meaning of to surpass is to throw beyond, and to go beyond, to transcend, to exceed. How far must a climber go before they are satisfied? Would they be content upon reaching the summit of Mount Everest, the highest peak in the world, saying, "There is nothing more to climb"? Even if they have scaled several of the 14 peaks in the Himalayas that exceed 8,000 meters, they will likely still long to climb the remaining ones or seek new mountains elsewhere. If one travels to Europe, known for its natural beauty, rich history, and cultural landmarks, can they ever say, "There's nothing left to see"? Most likely not. Because even after many visits, or even after living there, what one has actually walked and seen is only the smallest fraction of the continent. How many times must one read the Bible, the Word of God, before they can say, "I no longer need to read it"? Even if one reads it for as many years as they have lived, their longing for deeper understanding and obedience to God's Word will not fade. The Word of God is far richer than we imagine, and as our age changes, our circumstances shift, and we mature spiritually, we read the same Word in completely new and deeper dimensions. Just as the width, length, depth, and height of Christ's love are without limit, so too is the fullness of God without limit. Ephesians 3:18-19, that you may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In this passage, you will notice that the final word in the Korean version, 구하노라, which means I pray, appears in small print. This phrase does not exist in the original Greek text. Rather, it was added for clarity in translation. But in truth, this is a place where the sentence might more powerfully end with an ellipsis, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, allowing the emotion and wonder of the moment to resonate more deeply. We have now spent over a year from June of last year until now, reflecting on Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. Chapter 1 speaks of the work that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have done on our behalf. God the Father chose us to be His children before the foundation of the world. God the Son redeemed us and forgave our sins by His blood. God the Holy Spirit became the seal and guarantee of our eternal inheritance. This chapter testifies to the greatness and mystery of the triune God's redemptive work. Chapter 2 reminds us that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, following the patterns of this world, obeying the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and living in the desires of the flesh, by nature, children of wrath. But by grace, God made us alive and gave us the gift of salvation. We, who had no part in the kingdom of God, became citizens of heaven and members of God's household. We are being built together into a holy temple, a dwelling place for God. Then in chapter 3, Paul declares that he became an apostle in order to proclaim this gospel. The prayer we have studied over the past 6 weeks, verses 14 to 19, is the prayer we offered on his knees for the church in Ephesus. And now, having come this far, Paul is so overwhelmed with awe and emotion that he cannot even bring himself to finish the sentence in full. Instead, he ends with, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, leaving it open, full of wonder, full of longing. Have you ever come to the end of a prayer so filled with awe and reverence that you simply could not go on, that words seemed too small and your spirit too full to continue speaking? If our prayers are only filled with requests for worldly needs or desires focused on what we possess rather than who we are before God, then such a conclusion, so open, so reverent, so wordless, may remain distant from us. But when we are shaped not by secular values, but by eternal ones, when we dwell in the reality of God's being and His mighty work, we too will find ourselves overwhelmed, not just by what He gives, but by who He is. It is then that our prayer ends not in punctuation, but in silent praise and trembling gratitude. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If we reframe verse 20 according to the Greek word order and insert guiding questions, it might sound like this. Who is He, the One whose power is exceedingly great? How great is this power? It surpasses anything we can ask or even imagine. Where does this power work? It is the power now at work within us. God is not a miser, is not withholding or begrudging. Were He such, He would not have given His only Son for our salvation. No, our God is one who delights in giving beyond what we could ever dare to ask and beyond even what we could dream. As the hymn number 304 reminds us, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Could we, with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stoke on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. This love, this power, surpasses understanding. And Paul tells us it is not only in Christ Jesus, but also present in the church. This is God's word to us today on the 20th anniversary of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. If someone asks us, how has this church come this far? We will answer with conviction. It is by Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Paul once relentlessly persecuted those who followed Jesus of Nazareth and his teachings, binding both men and women and sending them to prison without hesitation. He firmly believed that it was God's will for the church to be eradicated, completely wiped out. But on his way to Damascus, he encountered the risen Jesus Christ and became his apostle. If someone were to ask Paul, how could you possibly become an apostle of Jesus Christ? He would likely respond, because of Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Over the past 20 years, we cannot help but give glory to God who has protected, led, and worked in our church so that it could be built up into what it is today. Our church, founded by the 100th Commemoration Foundation, began with the mission of managing the two sacred sites of Korean Protestantism, the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Memorial Hall for the Korean Christian Martyrs. We were established with the calling to inherit the faith and spirit of the first 100 years of Korean Christianity and to become a faithful forerunner towards its next 100 years. From the very beginning, our church was not founded for ourselves, but for the Korean church and its future. Over the past 20 years, in order to fulfill the mission God has given us, even though we have not had a fine sanctuary to call our own, we have done our utmost. I extend my sincere gratitude to all the members who have willingly lived as faithful channels of God in fulfilling that mission. We believe that our church has received the calling to serve as a faithful forerunner, paving the way toward the 20th anniversary of Korean Christianity. However, this is by no means a mission that our church alone can fulfill. If we were to believe that only our church is capable of this task, such a belief would not only be arrogant, it would also disqualify us. Our church would no longer be a forerunner, but a hindrance, no longer a stepping stone, but a stumbling block. What we can do is to serve, both now and in the future, as one example of a faithful vessel used by God. God has never used only one sample in any time or place. According to His purposes, He has always used many different examples. We strive to preserve the church integrity as a church, the pastor's integrity as a pastor, and the believer's integrities as a believer, so that we might be one such example for the future of the Korean church. As long as our church is used as God's example, God Himself will prepare the right path for the Korean church through us. This year marks not only the 20th anniversary of our church's founding, but also the 140th anniversary of Protestant mission work in Korea. That means there are exactly 60 years left until the 200th anniversary of Korean missions. Since the 100th anniversary World Mission Conference was held in 1984, if we hold the 20th anniversary conference in 2084, then 59 years remain. The 100th anniversary World Mission Conference, hosted by the 100th Anniversary Commemoration Foundation, was held from August 15th to 19th, 1984. Over those 5 days, approximately 4 million people attended. Especially on the final day, when Reverend Billy Graham preached, the gathering drew nearly 1 million participants. There had never been a conference like that before, and there's not been one since. However, since that event, the Korean church has gradually followed a downward trajectory. Looking ahead, there is a high possibility that this downward curve will only grow steeper. Across the countries, theological universities are struggling to recruit enough students. As a result, seminaries, partly voluntarily and partly out of necessity, are now discussing mergers. The number of students pursuing graduate-level theological education after completing undergraduate studies has also decreased significantly. The declining number of seminary applicants is directly proportional to the declining number of Christians. Especially after COVID-19, the number of what we called Ganaan Christians has increased markedly. Ganaan is a play on words, 안 나가, meaning not to go in Korean, spelled backward. As time goes on, the word Christian will likely fall away, leaving only those 안 나가s. In addition, when we look at the many disgraceful events reported in the media that are happening within churches, it's hard not to question whether there is a future for the Korean church at all, let alone envisioning a 200th anniversary conference for Korean Christianity. Yet, we believe that God is the one who creates something out of nothing, the one who never lets go of His people. Therefore, we trust that He will also renew the Korean church. The role of paving the way toward the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity will not be fulfilled by building the largest sanctuary in Korea here in Yanghwajin. It will not be accomplished by multiplying our congregation several times over or by exponentially growing our church's finances. Nor will it be completed by establishing church branches overseas. What we must never forget is that God chose us, not because we had any qualifications or merit, and entrusted us with this calling. Moreover, it is only because He has worked beyond all that we could ask or imagine that we've been able to walk this path of calling up to this very day. Therefore, in all circumstances, let us not be proud, but give thanks to God who has entrusted this calling to us, though we had neither the merit nor the credentials. As we celebrate the 20th anniversary of our church's founding, let us strive to build up the church as one in which the Lord is truly the head. Let us uphold the church's true essence, the church being the church, and, as those called to this vocation, never lose the pastor's true essence, the pastor being the pastor, by aligning word and life. Moreover, let us maintain the believer's true essence, the believer being the believer, by practicing worship as a way of life and making self-denial the aim of our faith. If we live such lives with sincerity, then we are truly pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. And more than anyone else, we will be faithfully walking the path of forerunners, paving the way toward Korean Christianity's 200th anniversary. If we live with the one who works beyond all we ask or imagine as our ultimate purpose, God will use our church as a model for Korean Christianity's future. He himself will prepare the way forward for the Korean church. And when the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity arrives, even if we are no longer in this world, we will look down from the kingdom of God, rejoicing with those present in our church at that time, glorifying God together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the past, the Korean church was like an ark of salvation, the salt that preserves the world from decay, and the light that shines the life of Christ. But now we live in a time when that role feels distant and faint. People no longer say that the church worries for the world, but that the world worries for the church. We confess that this has come about not because of the world, but because the church has not been the church, because we Christians have not been faithful, and because we have lived by worldly values instead of your word. Lord, forgive our sins and our failings. We thank you for allowing us to celebrate this 20th anniversary of our church's founding. We confess that the grace you have poured out on our church throughout these years has been far beyond all we asked or imagined, abundant and overflowing. May each of us come to know the width, length, height, and depth of Christ's love more and more with its passing day, so that your fullness may become our fullness. We pray that you would pour out blessings, exceeding all we ask or imagine, on all the members who have served and devoted themselves to your church over the past 20 years. Help us to remain humble in all circumstances, and to remember always that whatever has been accomplished is not because of any ability of our own, but because you, O Lord, have graciously poured out your abundant mercy upon us. Grant that we may faithfully uphold the church's identity as the church, the pastor's calling as a pastor, and the believer's character as a true believer with quiet dedication and sincerity. Let our church continue to be a model that you use, not only until the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity, but even beyond that. And may it be that because our church remains faithful today, the Korean church from now will glorify you all the more as it celebrates its bicentennial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.